What do you know about mermaids? The Little Mermaid has recently proven a box office hit and is a tale, if you'll pardon the pun, loved by many. But do you know the mythology of the mermaid spans across the ages, and it's found in many different cultural representations? Well, today on The Daily, we're chatting to a guest who has studied the history of mermaids and can give us some insight into where the mermaid myth has swam across time. Joining us now is Dr. Louise Pryke, an honorary associate within the Department of Classics and Ancient History at the University of Sydney. Dr. Pryke, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Jack.
Good morning. It's great to have you here. Dr. Pryke, to get started with, let's just start with, what actually is a mermaid? Because we've got terms like mermaid and sirens and merpeople. What's the actual definition of a mermaid?
Yeah, look, it does change quite a bit through different cultures, but I think that most people kind of understand merfolk as being some sort of hybrid that involves fish and human parts, usually the human parts at the front and the fish parts at the back, the tail. But as you say, they're sometimes conflated with other creatures like sirens from Greek myth that we see in Homer's Odyssey. And in the ancient world, sirens were kind of thought to be more like half human, half bird. But the thing they've got in common with merfolk is that they both sing beautiful, seductive songs that lure people to their doom sometimes.
Right, yeah, that is something I wanted to ask about as well. There's a lot of stories about mermaids or sirens luring sailors to an untimely death at sea. Have mermaids throughout history been seen as something sinister?
Again, it's really diverse, and they seem to be a little bit like the sea itself. So the sea is, you know, it's creative, it's powerful, it's got these amazing qualities, but at the same time, you don't necessarily want to turn your back on it. It can be quite dangerous. And I think we see that a little bit in the myths of merfolk. So sometimes, like, for example, I've heard that Australian merfolk traditions, they can be quite protective spirits of certain sacred water spaces. But then at the same time, you've got other kinds of merfolk that are perhaps trying to lure you to your doom and possibly eat you. And so there's a lot of variety with our merfolk traditions, but which makes sense because they've been around for thousands of years. So lots to think about.
Right. Yeah, it's not just going to be Hans Christian Andersen's The Little Mermaid. There's going to be lots of different interpretations.
True.
Speaking of Hans Christian Andersen's Little Mermaid, that was actually partly inspired by some works of Shakespeare. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So The Little Mermaid by Hans Christian Andersen comes around about 1837. But by that stage, you know, people have already been talking about merfolk for thousands of years, including Shakespeare. And there's some indication that as a small child, Hans read works of Shakespeare and also the tales of the Arabian Nights and the Bible. And all of those different works contain different varieties of merfolk. And so in Shakespeare, for example, I think it's in A Midsummer Night's Dream, there's a discussion of mermaids that are riding on dolphins and singing just such beautiful songs that they're able to charm the moon out of the sky.
Wow, I had no idea mermaids were so powerful. That's quite impressive.
It's not a bad trick.
No, it's not a bad trick. They've got some pretty impressive lungs, I guess. Their music and their singing is quite impressive. The music itself seems to play a massive part in mermaid folklore. What kind of associations do mermaids have with music throughout history?
Yeah, it kind of goes all the way back. So we do see it in The Little Mermaid. So song is a big part of the fairy tale, but also the later adaptions. They tend to, you know, I think they've won Grammys and Oscars and so forth for their scores. But then before that, we see a lot of mermaids that are using their songs to impart their ancient wisdom, because one of the common themes we see with mermaids throughout history is that they're often connected to wisdom traditions. And particularly in Homer's Odyssey with the sirens, one of the things that they use to try and get people to listen to their songs, which then attract people to their doom, is they promise that they're going to tell their timeless wisdom to their listeners.
Oh, there's a bit of a forbidden, a bit of a taboo piece of knowledge to acquire. There might be great risk in trying to get the truth that the mermaids are dangling over our sailors' heads.
That's right.
What do you think different cultures, or why do you think different cultures have such a fascination with combining the human form and that of sea creatures?
Oh, I think it's a great question. And I think that, I mean, obviously it does have this enduring appeal. I mean, as we can see from, you know, continuing iterations of mermaid stories, I think there's a Netflix documentary about the mermaiding profession on at the moment. So it's quite enduring. And I think that merfolk quite literally give like a human face to the mysteries of the ocean. There's this idea that, you know, that life came out of the ocean, and, you know, I think only about 10% of the Earth's oceans have been mapped. So we really have no idea what's going on down there. And I think that with the merfolk, we can kind of tap into that mystery in kind of more of an accessible way.
Kind of an anthropologizing of,
yes,
that's
of the sea.
One, of us and our interest in the sea, right on.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Pryke, we're almost out of time, but I'd like to ask one final question. Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorite myth that involves mermaids or mer people that you would like to share with the rest of the world?
Well, I've got so many, but since you say we're running out of time, I think that because of what I was just saying about the fact that they sort of put a like a bridge between humans and the sea, I really love how there's actually quite a lot of mermaid stories from around the world which involve mer people building bridges that allow a bridge to be actually literally created between the land and the water. So we see in Mesoamerica, so Aztec traditions, there's this storm god named Tezcatlipoca, and he is assisted by a merperson to build a bridge along with, like, a, I think it's a turtle. They hang out with turtles quite a lot.
Wow.
And then we see the same sort of idea in Thai mythology. And I just love the idea that there's so many similarities in all the diversity we see with ancient mermaid myths.
Oh, that is fantastic. And who knows, if you look back at the building of the Sydney Harbour Bridge, you might see a couple of interesting shapes in the water. Who knows? You know, anything's possible. Dr. Louise Pryke, thank you so much for joining us this morning on The Daily. That's all the time we've had. Thank you so much for dropping by.
Thank you so much.
That was Dr. Louise Pryke, an honorary associate within the Department of Classics and Ancient History at the University of Sydney, joining us for a chat about the history of mermaids.